member, last week I was teaching on being blind, too blind to see, and we looked at scriptures that talked about a blind mind and how that as long as a person has a blind mind, they can't think straight. I guess is the common way to express it. And then we also looked at scriptures that talked about a blind heart. And so even, and I think of, I believe it's Jeremiah who says the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? So the blind mind and the blind heart cause real problems to people. And then I went into, at the very end, to 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 1, excuse me, chapter 1, and this is the necessity of Christian growth. It is important that believers do not merely live on past understanding and knowledge, and that even while they're living, it's important that a believer doesn't just live with the common knowledge and understanding that we can get about the Bible. We need to be in Christian growth. Let me read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So he is writing to believers here, all right? To them that have obtained a like precious faith. He had the precious faith. Others that were with him had the precious faith. Now they have that same precious faith. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. So you see, Peter knew that it was not okay to just live on the grace and understanding that we have when we're saved, either when we're first saved or like myself, saved in 1959. It's not sufficient that I would live on the grace that I've had and the understandings that I've had all those many years that I've been saved. It's not sufficient. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life. God, by his power, gives to the believer things that pertain unto life. Anything that's involved in the Christian life, God gives us that. Now, how does that happen? The middle of the verse. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we need that understanding of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, and you see, we're dealing from verse 1 through to the end of verse 4, we're dealing with one continuous thought that he has. You often hear me emphasize like it's a period and a comma. What are those things called?
Punctuation.
Yeah, thank you. I often call attention to the punctuation because it's all of this in verse 1 through to the end of 4 is intertwined together, building to one complete thought. Whereby, verse 4, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. God has promised many things to us, that by these, by the promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, you have heard it taught here, Pastor has, and I have, the matter of when you're unsaved, you have one nature. The Bible calls it the old man. or the old nature. Then when you get saved, God gives you an additional nature. He doesn't take away the old nature that prompts us to do wrong and to sin, but he gives us an additional nature, a new nature, it's called. And that is what he talks about here in verse 4, that by these, by the promises, we can be partakers of the divine nature. We need to be partakers of that divine nature, having escaped corruption. When we got saved and he gave us a new nature, it's like escaping out of that old nature. And he tells us in verse 4 there, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, the Apostle Paul, in various places, teaches about the old nature and the new nature. And so we know that it is our responsibility and it is our ability to yield ourselves to the new nature. But it doesn't happen automatically. It is a choice that needs to be made, and I can say daily and multiple times throughout the day when I have to choose about something. Turn the radio on in the car and music comes on and I have to choose if I'm going to listen to or not listen to that music. Or sitting at my computer and researching whatever subject and something comes up that shouldn't be there, I have to choose. Will I look at that or will I move away from that sight? And so now he gave us promises so that we can be participants, I'm going to change that word too for my purposes, participants in the new nature. Then verse 5, and beside this, now there's a period, so that's the end. One continuous thought. I was not always capable, but I always found very interesting diagramming whatever, okay? We'd say diagramming a verse or a sentence. Now, if you were to diagram, you remember how that was on the teacher on the blackboard, and then they became whiteboards, and they would diagram that sentence. Every word from that sentence was on the board. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about diagramming? Okay, very good, very good. And can you imagine diagramming verse 1, 2, 3, and 4? And every word, you would need a big whiteboard to do that. And you'd have to write in small print. But it would be fascinating to see what is the subject, you know? What are the adjectives? What are the adverbs? How does this fit with that? That wasn't necessary. Whether it's the whole sentence is one verse or multiple verses. But then we move to verse 5. And beside this, beside the promises that God gave so we can participate in the new nature, and we make the choice to not participate in the old nature. Now, we're very comfortable with the things of the old nature. We can live very easily in the realm of the old nature, that is, making choices that are not in line with the Bible. But verse 5 says, and beside this, beside all of what was said in verse 1 to 4, giving all diligence. So this is not something that we just occasionally do. This is not something that just when we feel like it, we'll do it. No, we're to be diligent about this. I admire people who are diligent in what they do. Whether it is a hands-on, a mechanical type of function, okay, a construction kind of function, but they're diligent about doing it. They don't do it in a haphazard or sloppy manner. And, of course, the end result, what they produce, shows it. The house that we bought after, a couple years after we were living there, I came to find out, talking with some neighbors, that somebody had bought that house to flip. And what I've also come to learn is most people who buy a house to flip, they're just fixing it up in a minimal manner, and we can see it. Sam, I think, was at our house years ago, and he pointed this out, how the sheetrock was done. And it should have been done differently to come up to standard. Okay? Another one that Pat saw when we sat there and in the living room, and you look out toward the kitchen, there's a big opening, and at the top, she said, "Roger, do you notice on this end it's about 8 inches high, but on this end it's a foot high?" No, I never noticed that. Okay? And so there's a number of things of that sort. That work was not done diligently. It was just done to get it done. And as Christians, when we don't do things diligently, it's going to end up the same way.
That's right.
Okay? And so that's why he tells us here to have diligence, giving all diligence. And this is something we do. This is not something that you sit around waiting for the power of God and a little cloud to come over you and just move you unexplainably. I do this. No. That is a wrong view of Christian living. And, there's too many Christians that have that understanding that somehow, almost magically, things are going to go well. No, they aren't. He says here in verse 5, beside this, giving all diligence, we give the diligence, add to your faith. So, all right, here I am, born again, 15 years old, 1959, born again. What a wonderful experience. I was part of the in-group now, okay? And I felt relieved because I had what God promised to give me, salvation. It did give me a sense of peace that even as a 15-year-old who didn't go to church, didn't learn all of the... What do your boys call it? G-Bok, okay? I didn't have any of that. Now, the G-Bok's good because that's basics.
Yep.
And you build on that. But I didn't have any of that. And so he says here, add to your faith. All right, Roger, you're saved. And that's wonderful. But just like these little ones around here, we want to do something different. We want to add to their life. It's not just enough. I mean, there's Addison. She's busy this morning, all right? And, it's wonderful. She's there so sweet and cuddly and cries when she feels like it and everything. And there it is, that's wonderful. But that's not enough. We'd all come in here 4 years from now, and we'd all feel sad when we'd look at Addison if she stayed just like that. Well, that wouldn't be good, would it? Of course not. And neither is it in the Christian life. When somebody gets saved and they are not diligent to add to their faith, to build their faith. See, we're talking about Christian growth. And so we need to build our faith. We need to grow it. In this same book, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, we are commanded, grow in grace. And in the grace that you got that saved you, that's good. But there is more grace, okay, that it can grow. Now, it isn't like a bottle that, it's a quarter full of grace. And then now we got it a half full of grace. Okay, it's not that way. It's just like a plant. There it is. Now we need to grow it.
Amen.
I planted a tomato plant, just one anymore. I'm going backwards. But I planted a tomato plant. It's called Early Girl and takes less growing time. And because we're not patient to eat some of those fresh tomatoes, I got that plant. And I planted it. And see, but I need to nurture that one plant. It's not enough that I planted it. I need to water it. I was advised by the place that we bought it, put some Miracle-Gro on it. Mix some of that in your water. And now, oh, that's right. And this is literal. I forgot about that until just now that I'm talking. Wow, I have got to do that. Now, in Christian life, that's how it can be. That's why he tells us to be diligent and add to our faith these things. We can just plain old forget to do it with no evil intentions, no negative thoughts in our place, but we just forget to do it. And that's why we don't grow. And then we can sit and we can look at somebody that is growing, or we can hear a message of the Bible preached, and it's wonderful, it's truth, but I can't identify with it because we have not been growing. Now, we're going to go over this quickly here. The results of Christian growth are in verse 8. For if these things be in you, what things? The things that are in verse 5, 6, and 7. And we're going to look at them each. If these things be in you and abound, not just that we've got a minimal amount so we can, you know, like my kids, they do their homework. And I say, is your homework done? Yes. Now here's the key. Did you learn it? What? You know, because all they were intending to do was finish the homework. I got the homework finished. No, the purpose of it is to learn something. So did you learn what the homework was teaching you? And so that's the same thing in our Christian life. Okay, the first one there, add to your faith virtue. And virtue has to do with character and excellence and the quality of life. Have I been developing that? It isn't something that you go out like a product that you take off the shelf and now you got the product. So this matter of virtue isn't something like, well, I'm looking for this, I'm praying for this, and I'm going to find this, and now I got virtue. No, it too is like a plan. When you make a determination that you want character, many a time we'll see somebody, we'll observe how they're living, and Pat and I have said to each other, you know, they have character.
Amen.
And of course, there's times where you see somebody and they don't have character. They'll do the least they can do to get by. There's things if they can not do it and still get by, okay? Like somebody that's working, and I'm going to use Dollar General because everybody knows them. They're everywhere. Somebody working at Dollar General, and they don't have character. So when they're putting things on the shelf, now this is a big one of mine, they don't rotate the stock. You know what I mean by that? They don't take the stuff that's on the shelf off and put the new stuff in the back and then the old in the front. They just open the box, take out six boxes of crackers and put them up on the empty space on the shelf. That's why when I shop, I always see what's in the back. Because if they did rotate the stock, now I can get the fresh stuff in the back. And I can also find out if they didn't rotate the stock. And so character. You see? Character. Okay, now that it's time to quit. He's done with his shift. It's 4:00. But there's five boxes of product here that for various reasons, not negative, but for various reasons, he didn't get an opportunity to get those five boxes of product up on the shelf. Character. It's 4:00. It's done. He can leave. And when a man doesn't have character, he'll do just that.
Yeah.
Character, he'll say, well, I'm going to put it on the box. Well, we're not going to pay you. You clock out at 4 o'clock. That's your time. That's okay. I'll clock out at 4 o'clock. But I'm not going to leave before these five boxes of product are put up on the shelf. Well, you won't get paid. Listen, character says, I want to do the job.
Yes, sir.
Character says, I'm not concerned with that pay. You say, well, they'll take advantage of you. That's a whole other subject, and there's a way to deal with that. Okay? But this is character. And he says to us, add to your faith virtue. And virtue involves character. And so, but we have to make this choice. Now, verse 8, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can have knowledge of Jesus Christ if we'll add these things to our faith. There's nothing magical about it. It's very practical. It's a definite spiritual hands-on kind of thing. And then, so that you see is what the result of Christian growth, verse 8. Now the result of not growing, the result of not taking effort and desiring to have these things that we're going to look at, these things in our life, verse 10 tells us, no, verse 9 it is, tells us the result of not growing. But he that lacketh these things. Okay, wonderful. He got saved. Okay, wonderful. He has faith. But he lacks these things. He that lacketh these things is what? Blind. Now you see, that verse would fit in with the previous verses last week that we looked at, about a half dozen of them, that talked about blind minds, blind hearts. They cannot see and grasp things. And even the believer, the Christian, if he doesn't grow, if he doesn't add to his faith these things, then he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. He cannot see the big picture. He cannot focus on something, the choices I make are going to affect my life a year or 5 years down the road, or my whole life. I'm picking a partner for life, okay? And I remember as a teenager, I'd sit there and I'd hear preachers and they'd say, it doesn't matter what she looks like, make sure she's got a heart that's right. And then, and I just think to myself, you're old. It doesn't matter what she looks like. Yeah, it does. If you're a man, it does. But that isn't the only thing. You see, there's the key. You'd want to find somebody that looks nice. But here's another one. You find a girl that's got character, that's got faith, and these things added to it. Okay, you find someone like that. And I observed this in my life. Even before I got saved, I observed that there were some girls that when you got to know them and you got to understand their inner beauty, it began to change how these eyes saw them as far as their appearance.
Yes, sir.
And so even though the person, maybe, on a scale of 1 to 10, she wasn't a 10. But she was much prettier after I found her heart. So that's why I say, I don't think it's wrong to when a guy's looking for somebody, or a girl's looking for a fella, she wants a hunk, and... I understand how that can be, but the important thing is, what's the inside like? Now, so we need to add to. Verse 1 to 7 is how we grow. You say, I still don't grasp this idea of growing. 1 to 7 is how we grow. And in verse 1 to 7, That's what Christian growth is, adding to our faith virtue. Now, and knowledge, it says, add to virtue knowledge. Knowledge is knowing and an awareness and an intelligence of things. It amazes me, the insight and understanding and the knowledge that some of the young adults have regarding Bible teaching that are here in this church. Now, you know where they're getting that? They're exposing themselves to a teaching of the truth. They've got an old nature just as evil and wicked as anybody. But they've made a choice, and so they come to Thursday night Bible study. I'm looking over here because I know this is where it sits. And they come to Bible, and they're hearing this being taught, even in regular Sunday school classes and preaching, and like Youth Week where you get preaching on steroids. Okay? They're learning. They're getting knowledge. But it tells us then, add to knowledge temperance. Okay, I got knowledge, but that's not enough. I need to have self-control. Temperance, self-control. And all of these, it isn't a matter I'm going to add virtue, then when I got that, then I'm going to add knowledge. Then when I got that, I'm going to add. It isn't, you know, they're all happening in a sense at the same time. But temperance, I looked up to give a couple word definition of temperance, and I found self-control, and I thought, well, that fits with what we're trying to get across here, self-control. And then the word that they had down was continence. Continence. I thought, what? Continence. Self-control and continence. Well, I don't use that word a whole lot, and therefore I had no place to fit it. And of course, some online dictionaries, they'll give you examples of the word being used in a sentence. But then, you know what came to my mind? Incontinence. Now, what is incontinence? Generally, that's related to a lack of control of the bladder. Now, a person can't control it. It's not a mind thing. It's a physical thing with the bladder and how it's not functioning properly. And so they're incontinent. They don't have control over their bladder. And in my Christian life, it is necessary for me to be continent. In other words, it is necessary for me to control things in my life, my thinking, my choices. And then it says add to temperance, add to patience. And patience involves waiting. You know, I was not always patient when I had to wait for Pat. Oh, I was dumb. I was not very nice. We were going to church. She was getting, at this time, 3 kids ready. Now that seems like a piece of cake to Leanne and Thad, but we were getting 3 kids ready, and maybe it was winter, so I say, I'm going out, start the car, warm it up. I did, and it needed to be done, but it was an action of impatience. Okay. Then I get out there, and I'm sitting in the car, and I look at my watch, and then I look at my watch, and she's not coming. Now, rather than get my lazy backside out of the seat and go in and help her to get the kids ready, what did I do? This was going to solve a lot. I'd blow the horn. Yeah. Yeah. Divorce is wrong. Divorce is wrong. And I'm not endorsing it or encouraging it in any way, but it would not have been out of order if she said, you're a jerk and I'm out of here. But she didn't.
Amen.
She was patient.
Amen.
And she was waiting. But you see, this kind of waiting involves an attitude. It's waiting, yes, but with the right attitude. That's where I missed it. I was in the car waiting, but I didn't have the right attitude. And so when he says here, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance to self-control. Temperance to self-control. Now you need to add to that patience. That's an endurance in waiting. And, you know, it's just, anyway, let's move on. From patience to, you add to patience, godliness. And that, of course, is holiness and piety. And there needs to be a godliness. And, you know, we might think, well, if a person has virtue and knowledge and temperance, boy, wouldn't we consider them godly? Maybe. According to how they were applying and using these, the virtue and the knowledge and the temperance and the patience that they have. But we need to be concerned about being holy. We need to be concerned about being holy. And that one can be, for me, you know, get a handle on that. What does it mean to be godly? Godly. No, that's not it. Okay. And then so I'm going to be super humble. And I'm so godly that I'm humble, and I want you to know how humble I am. I want you to know how wonderful a person I am. No, that can't be it either. No, it can't be. Ah, it's what God produces in me.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
But what God produces in me is connected to what I want to produce in me. And God says in Peter chapter 1, verse 5, beside this, giving all diligence, you add. It just says add, you know, add to your faith. But it's what we add. It isn't a matter of this holy cloud that's going to come over my life and somehow I'm going to begin to be patient. I wish it had happened that way, but it doesn't. And now listen, some of these things you're going to struggle all your life to be diligent about.
Come on.
Okay, we ought to leave by 9:05. We need to go pick Nick up this morning. Okay, and so Pat will say, that's fine. And I will literally go out and start the car, either put the air conditioner on or the heater on, depending on the season, okay? And I'll go out there and I'll sit there. And we need to leave by 9:05. And it's 9:01. It's 9:02. It's 9:03. Now, I'll carry your purse, I'll carry your bag, I'll take your water bottle, you know, I'll carry that all out. So, and it's 9:04, why isn't she here? Struggle with that, still struggle with that. Now, that's dumb. That isn't very nice. There's going to be some things that you're going to always struggle with. Don't misinterpret those things you struggle with. Let me move on here. Brotherly kindness. To godliness you have brotherly kindness. And this is a love of other Christians. And that is going to be a growing thing. When I first met Ronnie, he was a man. Wanted to come to church. Okay, pastor drives down, picks him up, brings him back. He stays up there, you know, and then eventually Amy started coming too, and that's nice. But as I've been around Ronnie, what God has been doing is developing this matter of a brotherly kindness, love for the brethren. And Ronnie knows there's been a couple times I've sent him a text and told him, I like you, brother. You know, whatever we're talking about, and then I'll end it with, you know, love you, Ronnie.
Right.
And Now, that wasn't the way I felt at first. I didn't feel negative or anything, but that wasn't the way. It was just the guy. And because I can be judgmental, this guy, he used to this, he used to that. But because I wanted to add diligence to my life, I was diligent about wanting to add brotherly kindness. And God began to work that. And I have an altogether different outlook of Ronnie and his place here in the body of Christ. Now listen, there's people that you know, people that you meet as you interact here at the church. And your initial old nature reaction to them, you need to yield to the new nature so that God can enable you to add these things to your life. Brotherly kindness and then charity. That's the last one. Charity. And what I've done to define it is the actions of love. This is what's beyond emotions. And of course, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us how to have charity. I'm going to end with this. I got this from a lady that had recently gotten saved, raised in a typical Christian church, made the usual profession of faith, but it wasn't real. You got the same text I did telling us about this lady's coming to understand Christ. And she said, I began to realize that what I prayed. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with praying.
That's right.
Praying is communicating with God.
Right.
But when you don't, she just prayed it. She just wanted to get, a ticket to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to realize that nothing changed in my life. And so... She came to the point where she realized this and she got saved. But recently, she sent this to her brother and he forwarded it to me. And in it, it's about James chapter 1, verse 2 to 8, and it talks about a double-minded man. She says this, to me, a double-minded man is one who is trying to walk that line between light and darkness. You want all of the benefits of the light without giving up any darkness. I thought, that's insightful.
That certainly is.
Okay. And we cannot live in the world and be of this world. That's why Jesus said, you are in the world, but don't become a part of the world. And so Christian growth is necessary because verse 9, this is the last verse, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. One of the first things when a person backslides, and that's what happens when you don't experience growth, then one of the first things is to question your salvation. You forget all of the wonderful things that God did through grace in your life and how you were growing and how you were progressing. And it may even be that you become discouraged with, I'm still, here it is. I was saved in 59, and here it is in 2022, and I'm still struggling with patience. I give up. Okay? Now, it usually takes more than just one thing like that for a person to get there. But there are people who they got saved. They were really saved, but they did not grow. They did not add these things. And they came to a place in their life where they forgot what God had done. And so now they're living by that old nature because they're not growing and developing the new nature. And that old nature looks just like the unsaved. And because it does, they even begin to question if they're saved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, the Spirit of God is the one who needs to bring them to the place where they realize this. Verse 10, 11 says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And if you do these things, you'll never fall. Doesn't mean you'll fall out of grace and you'll lose your salvation, but you're never going to get into a condition where you begin to question if you really are a child of God or not. You'll have the witness of his spirit with your spirit. But it comes through the word. You see, it comes through the word. And the adding of these characteristics to the Christian life. Okay, that covers that passage. And I hope it's a help of some sort to some of you.
One of the best Sunday school lessons.
Thank you.
A very long
thank
time.
You. Thank you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness and grace. Take your word and use it in our heart for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
God answered prayer.
I'll take it right. Thank you. You remembered, huh?